Well, I can say amen to the things that we heard this morning already. And just want to forewarn you that if you couldn't accept and apply the message that you heard this morning to your life, you probably won't be able to appreciate and apply this message to your life as well. So I just really encourage you to consider those things. This morning, as I was pondering the things to share here, I've been reading through, working my way through the book of Nehemiah there. And it's very interesting to see the things that took place there. And so the question that I would like to ask us this morning as we look at that passage is, are you building your part of the wall? And we'll get into that chapter there and just look at some of the things that took place there. And hopefully as we do that, we can find inspiration and a desire to dig deeper in spite of whatever we're facing. And as we consider this question, some of the things that, you know, where are we at this morning? As we ask ourselves this question, hopefully this morning we find ourselves busy building, doing the work of God, being productive believers of Christ. But maybe we have found ourselves stumbling because our section of the wall started crumbling, or there's pieces, and we haven't found the courage to dig in and to fix the problems that are there. Or maybe the enemy of our soul has discouraged us, and we have sort of quit working on this wall, and really don't have the courage to pick it up. Or maybe we have been taken captive, as the people were years earlier here in this passage, and we have been taken places that we didn't want to go, and our wall is lying in ruins. And when I think of captive, that our enemy has taken us in a spiritual sense, and we have fallen for some of those traps that our brother shared about, and we're in a place that we really don't want to be. Regardless of where we are this morning, we have a God that wants to reach down, and He wants to pick us up. He wants to encourage us. If we're in the midst of the work, He also wants to give us strength to continue. And before we just go, Father, maybe we can just pause and have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just pause before You this morning. We thank You, Lord, for the word that was already shared with us. And I just pray, Lord, that those things would just settle deep into our hearts, and that we would consider where we are with You. And Lord, I just pray also this morning as we look further into Your word, I just pray, Lord, that You would speak to each one of us, that You would minister to the needs that we have. I pray this morning, Lord, that You would be with those that, if there's some that are listening in this morning, I pray, Lord, that You would bless them, and that You would give them courage and peace for this time, Lord, in their lives. We thank You, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Psalms chapter 18, verse 1 to 3, just a couple of verses here to, if we can just grab a hold of these verses, and we can find strength in them. I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. As we go through life, regardless of where we're at, if we can have a heart as those verses talked about, God will be there and he will take care of us. If we turn now to the book of Nehemiah, to the first chapter there, and we look at chapter 1 and go down to verse 5 here, we see that Nehemiah had realized where his people were at. And he comes to God in prayer with the burden that he has and brings it to the Lord. In verse 5, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night. For the children of Israel, thy servants, confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commanded thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, thy word, that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost parts of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. We see here his prayer, his understanding of the people, and he just came to God and just having a desire to see his people restored. In chapter 2, Nehemiah, in chapter 2 here, he is at his job doing what he's called to do. And it came to pass in the months, in the 20th year of Arax the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. And then I was very sore afraid. Here he was serving the king, and he had obviously had a burden and was sad. And the king picked up that he wasn't okay. And if my understanding is correct, this wasn't an okay thing to do in the presence of the king, to have this kind of countenance. In verse 3, he said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judea, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. Nehemiah had a vision. A big job. Walls that were in ruins. And he's saying, putting a request out there to, he wants to rebuild this. We go to verse 13 and 14 in chapter 2 here. We see that Nehemiah is now out and assessing the damage. In verse 13, and I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. So whatever animal that he was riding, things were so bad that he couldn't even bring his horse or whatever transportation he had, that it was a pretty big mess. Nehemiah had a vision here of bringing these ruins back together and making them something that is worthwhile. In chapter 2, 17 to 20 here, we see that Nehemiah brings his people together. And I wonder, where did he choose to do this? You know, he needed some help here, some real help. And I'm wondering if he was somewhere where they could overlook the ruins, the work that was needing to be done. And he encouraged the people to come together and to help rebuild this. But we see also that in verse 19 there, that there was some that laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, "What is this thing that you do? Will ye rebel against the king?" Then answered I them and said unto them, "The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But you have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem." And so we see he was able to pull people together in spite of the scorn and the ridicule that they receive. And in chapter 3, we see that the rebuilding begins. And I just would like to take note as we read through this chapter that in verse 2 there, it says, "And next unto him build the men of Jericho." And then it goes on, "And next unto them." And we go through and we just keep seeing that there was many groups of people that were assigned a job. And I believe, if I have my numbers right, that there was 44 groups of people all assigned a portion of work to do. And as we think about the project that took place, you know, I'm sure that Nehemiah helped them to understand that, you know, we need all hands on deck and it's going to be hard work. And that these are possibly some of the difficulties that we're going to see as we take on this project? Well, for one, that you're going to have to sacrifice your time and you're going to have to be committed. That it's going to be long, hard days of hard work. And, you know, that there's things that may not go well. Tools might be broken. You know, if you work hard and you're not used to doing what you normally do, there's going to be, you know, sore muscles and maybe some injuries that because we got careless or we're out of our comfort zone. And these are all things that you're going to have to face. And we see that they obviously faced those things well. Do you think that they were prepared for what they met in chapter 4, verse 1 to 3 there? If we go to chapter 4, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we built the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobah the Ammonite was by him and said, even that which they build, if a fox got up, he shall even break down their stone wall. In the middle of their hard work, these people were coming against them and making fun of their work, telling them how bad of a job they're doing, trying to get them to become discouraged and to stop. And obviously, as we look, we see that, you know, in spite of these things, they continue. They didn't stop. And so it tells me that they must have had counted the cost. They must have decided that nothing was going to stop them. And Nehemiah was good at encouraging them and helping them to stay focused. But I'm sure that it wasn't only him that was doing that, but that there was others standing by his side, and they were helping in the cause. You know, what if at this point in time, in these 40 some groups of people, what if half of these people at that point in time were only so half committed to the cause, and they hadn't expected this hardship, and they realized that they weren't appreciated and by the people, and it was much harder than they thought. And they started turning away and turning against the job at hand. You know, what kind of effect that would have had. We see that further on in the chapter there, that Nehemiah showed them in verse 13 and 14, he showed them how to be on guard and to work at the same time. You know, these different groups that were assigned different jobs, they obviously had to be on board and had to be working together, protecting, having their armor in place, and working at the same time. And they obviously did that all the way through. In Psalms chapter 133, and I'd just like to just turn there. and just look at, just be reminded of this verse here, verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And as we observe the things that were taking place here, we can see that that was happening. They didn't get distracted from the task at hand. Even when the enemy came, they chose to work together and just work harder. Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. In Matthew 12, verse 25, you know, it talks about, you know, if we're not working together, in Jesus, I believe these are Jesus' words there, that, you know, we can't be divided. And so as I was pondering these things here, and how can we as a church, you know, how can we apply the things that we heard here? How can we apply that to our lives and, you know, the walls that we have to build? And as I was pondering that, how can we make that stick and how we're all needed? And so I'd like to do something just a little bit different, and hopefully it'll I won't get you too uncomfortable. I'm not going to ask of anything of you, but I'd like for families to come together, and we're going to stand in a circle, in starting up front here. And if my family would like to come and stand here, and then the Yoder's family, and then we'll just continue as families, and that will represent the group people that we see in this passage here. And we'll do a whole circle the whole way around the back. And so if you could do that for me, I would appreciate that. Well, isn't this amazing? You know, was everybody on deck, everybody on board? If we think about this being a wall here, and we're all committed to do our job, it can be accomplished. And I can imagine as Nehemiah was looking at the wall and he saw the people respond and come together, that it was an amazing thing. I think Chad is out of place. He needs to be over here in his people group. So Nehemiah gave the people a job to do it in this passage here, and he appointed them to different jobs. Now, if we think about that, and we think it's like, well, what if this people group over here said, well, I don't really want to do that piece. I want to do this over here. And they became dissatisfied and started, you know, trying to trade jobs and not focus on the task at hand. You know, we know where that would have gone, and it wouldn't have gotten them very far. And so this morning, God has given us a job. There's many jobs here that we have to do. And there's families presented here. We have, as fathers and mothers, we have a job to do raising our children, teaching them about Jesus, showing them by example what a Christian should be doing. And so, as parents, let's say, you know, if we look into the in around us in the world, we see many parents not doing this. And if we become lax and we stop doing that job, stop building the wall there, how many of these children that are in your care are going to grow up and not be prepared to work on the wall? And so, you know, if we think about that and it's like, well, you know, half of these children aren't being taught because there's parents that aren't working on the wall. What would that look like? You know, there'd be quite a few holes here that would start opening up. You know, husbands and wives, you know, if you don't work on your relationships and keep your relationships together, if you do the way the world is doing, you know, 50% of the homes are broken. There's more holes, less people to do the work. And then it has the effects of the children. Sons and daughters, God has a job for you in this time in your life. And are you filling that spot? You know, in this world, as we look at churches and homes, we see people walking away, choosing not to do their piece. And those pieces leave holes. Young people that come to Christ and are excited for Jesus, but things come along. You know, life gets hard, as we saw in Nehemiah here. And in this case, they were prepared. But we see many people in today's life that aren't prepared, aren't able, aren't willing. And they step aside and say, well, you know, it's too hard. I'm just going to watch. How many people here in this group, if we were asked, it's like, well, I don't know, this looks like it's going to be a lot of work. Maybe I'll just sit on the side and watch. If it goes good, I'll be part of it. If not, count me out. You know, the holes get bigger. There's less and less people. We need to keep our focus on Jesus. The wall is big. There's enough of work there for all of us. And so let's not shirk our duties. Let's take our responsibility and let's do it well. Let's not allow the tricks of the devil to distract us, to discourage us. But let's be faithful and be true to God. In Acts, we see, if we look in chapter 1 there, in Acts, and we see the support that the Christians had. You know, they were there for each other. They were there praising with one accord. In chapter 4, verse 24, they faced their problems with one accord. They were together. In the same verse, they sought God's power with one accord. You know, if we think that we're going to try to do it alone, we'll get away with it for a little while. But in the end, we're going to find ourselves probably where statistics show that many people end up, they give up, they get discouraged, they become bitter. They blame something or blame God or whoever. So let's build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Let's do what they did in Acts there. They were praising God with one accord. They faced their problems together. And they sought God, God's power, together. And so let's purpose to do that this morning. And, you know, as we are building that wall, let's have a humble heart before God and man and look at God's work as more important than myself. And I just would like for us all to just take these things and apply them to our lives and to think about that. At this time, I'm going to give the time to Brother Randy and allow him to close it. And I think we'll just stay standing here, and then we'll just close the service from here.